Chapter 27. What the Boy Said. Two important things happened in our seventh day in Eden. The first is that Bean learned to play a game called chess, and the second is what happened to Littleface when he first learned to talk. The chess thing went down like this. Lanai and Jin are in the game space, a room that changes shape and layout depending upon the game being played, in this case, chess. Chess is one of those deals that looks real simple, but isn't. You move 16 pieces around a board divided into 64 squares. Some pieces, like drones, can only move one square at a time. Others, like crooks or wizards, can go all the way across the board in different directions. The object is to trap the piece they call the master. Jin says it's an ancient game based on strategy and warfare and stuff, one of the few games to survive the Big Shake more or less intact. There are hologram versions with animated pieces as big as human beings if you want, but Jin says that's just a distraction because the real game is played inside your head. Great players don't even need a board or pieces, he tells Bean. They can visualize an entire game with every possible combination of moves. He's explaining all this as if he's just being polite. He doesn't really expect a normal like Bean to understand. While he's talking, Lanaya moves one of her pieces and says, "Checkmate." That means she won. I almost never beat Jin, she tells me, but apparently he's distracted. Jin smiles like it doesn't matter who wins, but when they start the next game, he's all business, thinking so hard. Sometimes it takes him 5 minutes to move a piece. It works because he's got Lanaya in a checkmate in exactly 10 moves. See, she tells me. I told you he was good. I like to play chess for fun, but Jin takes it very seriously. He's one of the best players in Eden. Nonsense, he says. There are at least 6 players who are better than me. But the way he smiles, you can tell he's pleased. When Bean asks if she can play chess too, he seems happy that she's interested. Why don't you play with your foster brother, he suggests. I'll act as a kind of referee to make sure you get the moves right. No, I tell him. You'd better play Bean. She could beat me easy. Jin chuckles and shakes his head as if amused by my stupidity. How do you know if you haven't played? He asks. Believe me, I know, I say. So it ends up with Jin playing Bean while me and Lanaya watch. Ryder is off on his own doing something he calls making notes for his book, and Bree is taking care of Littleface, which both of them seem to enjoy. Anyhow, at first, Jin tries to take it easy on Bean, like he doesn't want to discourage her from trying to learn the game, which is so complicated, he says, it takes years and years to get really good at it. So imagine his surprise when he discovers that he can't beat a 12-year-old girl from the herb. Did you really mean to do that? He asks, perking up when she makes a particular move about 5 minutes into their first game. Uh-huh, Bean says. You'll see. I'll see, Jin chuckles to himself, like she can't possibly mean what she's saying. 7 moves later, he finds out. Oh, this is fun, Bean says, knocking over one of his taller pieces. Jin stares at the board, then he stares at her. Another, he says, setting up the pieces for a new game. They end up playing for hours. Bean never does beat him again, because from then on he takes her seriously. But he's never ever able to beat her, either. All of their games end in what they call a standoff, which means neither side can win, and Jin looks like he doesn't know whether to be angry or ecstatic. Do you see, he demands of Lanaya, do you understand what happened here? Nobody gets a bigger kick out of seeing Jin get beat than Lanaya. Oh, I saw what happened, she tells him, but I can't say that I'm surprised. But she's a normal, Jin exclaims. Yes, says Lanaya, and a normal can't be smarter than a prove, is that what you're saying? Jin shakes his head as if he's confused. Confused not so much by what Lanaya said, but by his own feelings. I try to have an open mind on these matters, he says, but I've been playing chess since I was 5 years old, and she just learned the game today. How is it possible? Mm-hmm, Lanaya says, her eyes bright and knowing. Do me a favor, don't say anything more, just think about it. Think about what it means if a girl from the herb can beat you at your best game. Jin starts to say something, then changes his mind. I'll do that, he promises. I'll think on it. Bean gives me a look that says, are these people zoomed or what? The truth is, I've got no answer. We've been here for a week, and I still don't know what it's like to be a prove or to think like one. Okay, here's the deal on Littleface. Like I said, Bree's spending a lot of her time taking care of him, which is sort of unnecessary, really, because he's pretty good at taking care of himself. Not that you'd know it when Bree's around. Then all he wants to do is get hugs or make signs that he's hungry or smile and dance around until he has her complete attention. Whatever he's doing, it's working, because not long after the chess game ends, Bree marches into the game space and makes an announcement. "I'm adopting this child," she says, in a way that makes me think she's been working herself up to it for hours. "I've made my decision. Don't try to talk me out of it." Poor Jin. He's getting it from all sides. He can't win at his favorite game. His daughter's giving him the sort of advice that a parent usually gives to a child, and now his love mate announces she's going to adopt a normal. And not just any normal, but a kid who had to raise himself more or less like an animal. A kid who doesn't know how to talk and never had a bath until Bree scrubbed him clean. "Bree, Bree," Jin says, exasperated. "Don't you Bree me," she answers right back, her eyes flashing. "But you know the rules," he reminds her. Bree crosses her arms. Being angry makes her even more beautiful, which means that looking at her almost takes my breath away. What I know is that this child needs me, and I need him. Surely there are others who can care for him, his own people. "He doesn't have any people," she exclaims, "and you're not listening. I need him." "What are you talking about?" he asks, genuinely puzzled. "I didn't know it until I saw him standing in our door space, but I've missed raising a child. I love Lanaya, and I know that she loves me, but she's never really needed me, not the way this child does." "Bree, what a terrible thing to say." Lanaya steps in, placing a hand on Jin's shoulder. "Father," she says, softly but forcefully, "I never call you that. It's a back-timer word we don't use. Nevertheless, you are my father, and Bree is my mother, and I love you both dearly. But what Bree says is true. I was designed to be a master, eventually. That means I'm unusually self-reliant, even for a prude. It can't have been much fun raising me." Bree suddenly looks crushed. Tears leak from her beautiful eyes. "I didn't mean it that way," she says. "You were a lovely child, Lanaya. It was fascinating watching you grow up. I wouldn't trade it for anything." Lanaya rushes to embrace her. "Oh, mother, dear, I know you loved me, but I understand, I really do." Bree wipes at her tears and laughs. "You've always understood, Lanaya, almost from the moment you were born. I've often felt like you were the contributor and I was the child." "Enough," says Jin. "Both of you, please. This problem isn't with either one of you. The problem is with the child. It simply won't be allowed, no matter how much you say you care for him. And as to what the child really wants, we can't know that, can we? Because he can't tell us." Jin crosses his arms, as if he thinks he's had the final word on the subject. But he hasn't, not quite. Because that's the exact moment when Little Face decides to start talking. "I love Bree," the little boy says, as fierce as a latch boss declaring war. "I love Bree, and Bree loves me." And that pretty much settles the question.